15. Hello, this is Larry Goins. How is everybody doing?
Good.
Outstanding.
Hey. Good evening.
What's up, Larry Goins?
What's happening? So we got a lot of people on the line, so without further ado, if it's your first time, this is our bi-weekly Q&A call, and it's basically, it's not a planned thing. It's not any kind of a set topic. It just goes with the flow and whatever the topic is you guys have. I did have one question that was emailed to me in advance, so I am going to go ahead and read that, and I'm going to answer that question first, if you don't mind. It is from Heidi. And Heidi, are you on the line?
Yes, Larry, I'm here.
Good, good. I see you sent me an email from the questions that go out or the email that goes out reminding people that you're attending a meeting at your local real estate investors group for the first time. You're brand new, and and what's the best way for you to streamline your time at the meeting and find the people who you need to work with? Two or three things you should not do as well. So, Heidi, let me ask you a question. What type of business are you going to be doing? Are you wholesaling or seller financing or what?
We're doing seller financing.
Okay, good. So tell me, what is it you're going to be looking for?
Well, I'm going to be looking to start building my team. I need realtors that I could work with, maybe a CPA that would work with me.
Okay.
Hopefully
first of all, let's talk about this. Talk about realtors, okay? You don't go looking for realtors. You go looking for properties that have a realtor attached to it. And by nature of finding a property that's listed on the MLS, whether it's a HUD house or a REO or whatever, it's got a realtor attached to it. And you do a couple of things. Number one, you see if you might be able to buy that property. And number two, you're going to see if you're going to be able to work with that agent. If it's somebody you feel good about and
agent.
You have a good rapport with, and you can work with that particular agent. Okay? As far as a CPA goes, finding a CPA, you can look up my guys, smithandshin.com, and they work with people nationwide. There's also Anderson Advisors that work with people nationwide, and as well as if you're at your local RIA group, just you can look sometimes on their website, and sometimes there will be vendors there that are local CPAs or accounting firms as well. So, did that help so far?
Yes.
Good. So what else is it you're looking for in going to your local RIA group?
Well, I'm looking for just making some contacts with people who might be doing the same type of thing and be able to work on deals together.
Okay. So are you basically kind of looking at it as safety in numbers and you just want to have some people to network with and talk to?
Yeah, I'm just kind of feeling it out, maybe see who else they work with or if they go to auctions locally or...
Okay. Okay, good. Well, just as you're talking to people, you know, just you could even get a little name tag, you know, on your a lot of times they give out a little thing that you just write your name on it. Just put, you know, I sell or finance or looking for properties or whatever it is you want that you're really looking for, put that on your name tag. Some RIA groups have that already in advance where they have these little banners that you've seen on the bottom of name tags that will tell, you know, what a person's looking for or what a person does, like landlord, wholesaler, hard money lender, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then just as you talk to people, you know, hey, my name is Heidi. You know, I do seller finance deals. You know, what do you do? Oh, okay, great, great. So we're getting a lot of our deals from HUD or the MLS. Where are you getting your deals now? Oh, you're using direct mail. Okay, cool. Do you use Yellow Letter or what do you use? Oh, okay. Now, how are you funding your deals? You know, I've got a couple funding sources, but always looking for more. I'd be glad to swap funding sources with you if you'd like. You know, just that sort of thing. And I can't really think of any particular things that you that not to do. I can't really, nothing really comes to mind unless you had anything specifically you wanted to ask about. Did that help, Heidi?
How are you supposed to ask for a question? What number?
You made me turn it off. No, I don't know.
Okay, anybody else have a question out there that you'd like to jump in with?
Hi, it's Alan from New York. How you doing, Larry Goins?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. If talking about seller financing, what is the interest rate that it would be too high? Is there such rules about, you know, how high you the interest rates can be and how high you price your property?
There's no rules I know of about how high you price your property. Because the value of a property is based on what somebody's willing to pay. So as far as the interest rates go, I'm not a regulator or an attorney or anything like that. But from what I understand, as long as you keep your interest rate at 9, I mean, you could probably do 10, but if you keep it at 9 or less, you're not going to run into any kind of problem with any of the regulators in doing your loans. I always do my loans at 9% for 20 years or less. 20 years is typically going to be a decent payment that they can afford, but if you're selling your notes or you want to have a higher payment coming in, you just shorten up the term. The shorter the term, the higher the payment's going to be, and the higher the payment, the more you're going to get for your note when you sell it.
Got you. And then with that in mind, if you have someone that puts $5,000 down and they send you a check, do you cash that check to make sure it doesn't bounce before you close?
Oh, absolutely. I want to make sure the money's good.
Yes. So I'm saying, but some people do it the day of the close. But let's just say if they send it to you today and 2 weeks of the closing, do you already cash it?
Like, absolutely, because we're selling them on land contracts. We're selling our deals on land contract typically. So I tell them that your money has to be in and cleared before you can sign your closing docs.
Okay, it must be. Okay, got you.
We have 4 closings coming up this week or in the next week. And we have 4 closings coming up in the next week, and all 4 of them have already sent their deposit, all their down payment money in, and it's been in our office for a week or two.
And what's the minimum amount that you're willing to accept as a down payment?
Well, how much do you have?
If someone says $500, you're not going to take that seriously. Yeah. Like, I mean, so there has to be some, I guess, some floor, right?
Yeah, it's probably going to be around 5%.
About 5%, you said?
Around 5%. If I'm selling a house for $60,000, I probably wouldn't take any less than 3. Now, I do have a deal going on right now. I think I'm selling it for $69,900 or $64,900, and we're taking $3,000 down plus closing costs. But, you know, it's right at 5%. But I typically try to get a minimum of $5,000, a minimum. And my average down payment is probably about $5,000 to $7,000.
It averages at 5 to 7 times. And when you screen, when you do your initial screening, is that part of the initial screening? Like if they can't put $3,000, $5,000, you don't even qualify them?
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things we want to ask them is, you know, if we can help you become a homeowner so you're not throwing your rent money away, how much would you be able to put down as an initial investment?
Right.
And if they say 500, there's, you know, then you can go back and say, look, this is not a landlord tenant situation. You're going to be buying the property. You're going to be owning it. You're a homeowner. You're going to be building equity. $500 is not a down payment. That's a deposit on a rental. So if I can help you become a homeowner, how much do you have to put down?
That return.
Okay.
Or let me rephrase this. What's the absolute most amount you could come up with?
State.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
And then?
I have to look into it.
Good.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Great.
A lot of sense.
Well, I hope that helps.
The cash flow.
Oh, we can't do that.
Awesome. Okay, does anybody else have a question you want to jump in with? I know we got a lot of people on the line tonight.
Larry, John Jackson from Baltimore.
What's happening?
Well, it's a great day.
That's
and
good.
I have a question on appointment. You have just mentioned you typically do the land contract. What is your reasoning for doing that, for doing your seller financing in that fashion?
Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on just one second. Hey, guys, if you don't mind, I'm getting a lot of background noise, and I can barely understand the person talking. If you are not asking a question, if you will please hit star 6 on your phone, and that will mute your line. If you don't mind doing that, just hit star 6, and that will mute your individual line. And if you want to ask a question after the current question, just hit star 6 again, and
star
it will
six.
Unmute your line.
That mutes
so, okay, Roy, go ahead again and ask your question.
Okay. You have just mentioned that you typically do your seller financing on the land contract.
That
is true. And I'm wanting to understand your motivation for doing that.
Okay. All right. So a land contract in some states, in some cases, I'm not going to tell you all the time, but in some states, in some cases, will be easier to gain possession of the property back. So having said that, if you want to get easy access to get the property back in some cases, then do it on a land contract. Your buyer is still going to pay the taxes. They're still going to pay the insurance, and they're still responsible for maintenance and upkeep and repairs and all that good stuff. Okay? Now, on the Filthy Rich's house, if I got a house that I picked up for $5,000 or $10,000, and it's a dog with fleas, it's a dirt cheap house, and I don't have a whole lot in it, what I'm going to do is I am going to sell it on a mortgage or a deed of trust. And the reason is because if it's that kind of property, if it's that kind of property that is, may have more liability, I do not want that property to stay in my name. And that's the reason I would do a mortgage or a deed of trust.
Okay. My intended business will be in mostly in Texas. How does Texas fit into the land contract situation?
They do land contracts in Texas, but I will tell you this: there's more seller finance transactions in Texas than any other state, probably combined. I don't know why, but there's more seller financing done in Texas than anywhere else.
I can come to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
And I will need your assistance very shortly.
No problem at all. I'm here for you whenever you need it. Excellent.
Thank you.
So who else has a question you want to jump in with? Just if you want to ask a question, just hit star 6 again, unmute your line, and throw your question out.
You have a question?
Not
yes.
Not yet.
Larry, this is Heidi again. The call dropped right before you answered the last part of my question. Are there two or three things that I should not do at that real estate investors group meeting?
Okay. Yeah, I did call out your name a couple of times, but I figured something must have happened when you didn't respond. But anyway, as I said earlier, I can't really think of anything specific that you should not ask. All you would really do is just go up to people and, hey, my name is Heidi, I'm a wholesaler, or I do seller financing. I'm always looking for deals. Do you have any deals? Are you a wholesaler? I might be interested in some properties. How can we work together? By the way, I get most of my deals by X. You might say HUD or MLS or whatever, and then you might want to say, well, how are you getting most of your deals right now? Oh, really? How do you fund your properties? I'm always looking for additional funding. By the way, I have a couple of funding sources as well. I'd be glad to share with you. Maybe we can swap funding sources. And if you're looking for private money, people aren't going to tell you about their private money lender, but if you find somebody that does use private money, then what you can do is you can find out the name of the company that uses private money, and then all you need to do is look them up at the courthouse, look up their LLC at the courthouse, and find out who their lender is on their properties. So as far as meet at the meetings, you know, it's a great place to network and learn who's doing what and that sort of thing. And you could buy properties from wholesalers as well as, you know, find other sources of properties and private money and realtors you can work with and appraisers, CPAs, home inspectors, contractors, all that good stuff. So I hope that helped.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Door 6.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
It's Alan from New York still again. If you have a seller note, if you have a third party that services it, and they have a closing fee charge, what do they charge you after for all the installments and payments? Do they have a certain set fee?
Everybody's different. Some of them charge if they have to, if they go into default, some of them charge extra. Some of them charge less when they go into default because they're not doing as much collections or as much, you know, monthly if they're not collecting the payment. But some people charge more. Some people charge if you want to pay off. Some people charge if you want to print out of an amortization. Some people charge if you add taxes and insurance. Some people don't. You know, it's just every one of them is different, and there's a lot of different servicers out there for seller financing.
Mm-hmm. But overall, would you say, you know, like you have a property management, they get, you know, anywhere between 6 to 10%. Are they keeping, would that be a fair estimate that some of that money that you're supposed to receive in
it's probably going to cost, it, on an average, it's about 30, it's probably about $30 to $35 on average per loan per month to service a note.
Okay.
So
okay.
If it's a, you know, if it's a $500 loan, you're going to net about $565 because you're going to pay $35 for servicing.
Right.
Yeah.
And is there, when you qualify them, is there certain debt to income? Like when you pre-qualify them before you
well,
do
no,
anything?
You don't. Here's the cool thing about seller financing, Alon. You don't have to qualify them. All you do is send it over to an RMLO, like Texas Pride or National Asset. Texas Pride will get them done in like a day and, you know, send you back a complete thing saying their debt ratio and what they can qualify for and all that good stuff. And it's very, very quick. And then you just hook up with a servicer. And these guys charge, I think it's $850 to do that.
Gotcha.
But they verify everything. They verify that they got the income and about their payments and all that good stuff.
But you have to pre-qualify some of them first, right? Like you have to ask them, if let's just say there's 10 phone calls that come in and they're interested, of those 10, maybe 3 of them are good, and then you would send them to Texas Pride.
That's right. Yeah, you're just separating. All we're doing in our office is separating the suspects from the prospects. In other words, you know, they're calling about a house. You know, well, which house are you calling about? Well, I don't know. I just saw your sign that says owner financing. Tell me what you got. Well, you know, we help people become homeowners, and we do that through special funding programs, and there's no bank qualifying needed, although we do have to go through a licensed mortgage lender to comply with government rules and regulations. But it's not like going down to the bank and qualifying for a loan. So if you've been turned down, chances are we may still be able to help you. So let me ask you a question. What are you looking for? How many bedrooms you need? How many baths? What area of town you need in? How much can you handle per month? How much do you have to put down? Oh, how soon are you looking to move? Okay, great. That sounds good. Let me tell you what I got. I got a house that sounds like it meets your needs over at 125 Oak Street. I'd like you over there. Take a look at the outside. Look at the neighborhood. Call me when you're standing in front of the door, and I'll get you in the house. Okay? If you like it, what I'll do is I'll send you over to my mortgage lender, and they can get a little bit of preliminary information. It will see exactly how low we can get your payment.
Gotcha. And then you let them go inside without a realtor? They just go
it
in with
the lockbox?
It depends
on the deal. If it's an inventory house where I've already bought it and closed on it, yes. If it's a HUD house, no. If it's another listed house or just a house I'm buying from and somebody else that's vacant or whatever, we may. It just depends on what the seller will allow us to do.
Oh, so you're selling a property like a HUD house without closing it?
Say that again?
When you buy a HUD house, it's yours. Why would it matter? So then if there's a lockbox, you could let them in, Larry, no?
Well, I'm talking about if I show it before I've closed on buying it.
Oh, you're smart. You're already getting the buyer before you even sell. Okay, I got you.
That's the way to do it. You try to
you know,
get your marketing out there. We put our marketing out there the day we get them under contract.
Gotcha. Well, as soon
as we can. Because if we've got 4 weeks to close it, we got 4 weeks worth of leads coming in. We're trying to qualify our buyers, so we're not sitting on it as an inventory property very long.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
That's the only downside to the seller finance model is you're going to have some inventory. Like right now I have $480,000 in inventory.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, either there's some of them are sold or some of them are under contract to sell, just waiting on closing, and some of them we're still looking for buyers.
Gotcha.
That's the only downside to the seller finance model, because it's not like wholesaling where you find a buyer and then you line up your closing back-to-back and you buy it at 10 o'clock and sell it at 10:30. It doesn't work that quick with owner financing.
Gotcha.
But the profits are much bigger.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay. I, just to be fair, let other people ask questions. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with? Just unmute your line. If you've muted it, hit *6 again, and you can throw your question out there.
It's sounding. If no one's asking, I'll be happy to ask more questions, you know?
All right, sure. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Sure. I guess the question is that why some real estate agents just not familiar with that model of seller financing, and they've been in the business for a while?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why some realtors aren't familiar with it. You know, it's like why are some realtors not familiar with, you know, FHA financing, or why are some not familiar with doing lease options, or, you know, I just don't know. Some realtors just get in their own little world and their own little niche, and they just focus on that, and they don't understand there's a whole other world out there. And there's some that do. Some don't even work with investors. Some are only listing agents. Some are buyer's agents. So I couldn't really tell you why some realtors don't know about owner financing.
Sure. And what about modular homes? It's my first time dealing with a modular home. Is that something, it's not a mobile home, but it was manufactured, I guess, in a factory, and then they deliver it to whatever destination it is?
Yeah, whether it's there's mobile homes, and then there's modular, but there's multiple kinds of modular. There's what's called on-frame and off-frame. If you look under a modular, if you look underneath the modular in the crawl space, if you can see steel I-beams going down the middle of it, that's what's called an on-frame modular. It's more like a double-wide. If you see what's called a true modular sometimes, it's off-frame. It looks more like a house. It has a higher-pitched roof because just a standard old, you know, regular old house is typically going to have like a 412 pitch roof. A mobile home is going to have less than a 412. It's not as steep. And true modular is going to have a 412 or higher. Even like they make like Cape Cods, which are like story and a half houses. And those are going to be your true modular, and they can be appraised more like a single family site-built or stick-built home. The other ones are going to be appraised more like a mobile home. But you can tell because if it doesn't have the steel I-beams going down the middle, then it's more like a true modular, and it can be appraised as if it was a site-built or stick-built home. Does that make sense?
No, thank you so much. The trying to think of the
yeah. Let's
you
just check
insurance
and make
for
sure
property.
Let me
you
just
do,
check and make
we,
sure anybody else.
Yeah,
has.
I don't
anybody,
know.
Does anybody have any questions about anything you're working on or anything you need help with?
Yeah, hey, Larry.
A lot of people on tonight.
Yeah, Larry, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Mike and Janet from New Jersey.
What's going on?
Hey, we're going to come down and see you next month.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to come see you next month, but I want to, is it fair that I might be jumping the gun if I try to reach out and get some different foreign filings?
Get some form filings. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It's basically permission to
sell in that state.
To work in a different state than I live in.
Oh, okay. You're talking about you want certificate of authority to transact business.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good idea, and you need to do that, but you don't need to do it until you have a deal under contract.
Okay.
Well,
so,
I mean, you might be in New Jersey and say, hey, I'm going to work the Atlanta market. And then you go get certificate of authority to do business down there, and then you start marketing and promoting and calling, and you find out, man, there's just way too many other investors in Atlanta. I'm not doing this. Now the problem is you've already filed for certificate of authority. You're in the state's database for their tax rolls, and they're going to be sending you a tax bill wanting to know how much revenue you generated in their state every year.
So it
could be a pain to get out of that. I had that happen to me in Alabama and an entity that I shut down and didn't use anymore. It took me like 4 years to get off their tax roll.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
So don't do it until you have a deal under contract and you know you're going to make some money in that state, in whatever state you're doing that. Does that make sense?
But doesn't it take some time to go to get the filing?
No. In fact, whatever attorney you're doing your closing with, you
mm-hmm.
could just pay them an extra $100 or something, and they would do it for you. It's not a big deal. You can do it yourself, but, you know, we've had plenty of attorneys that when we don't have the time, just have them do it as part of the closing package. And
nice.
They'll just charge you a little bit extra to do it. It's not a big deal.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I've run into that many times over the years. Anybody else have a question? Anything you're working on, anything you need help with, anything about the market, any questions about what I'm doing, what I got going on, what I'm working on, that sort of thing. Anything you got a question about, feel free to jump in.
Hi, Larry. This is Adam from Asheville. How are you?
What's going on, buddy? How you been?
I've been doing good.
Welcome.
See you next
to the
month
call.
As well.
Your first call with us, right?
It's my second, and that's why I don't have a question. I have a comment. From the last call, you told us about that website, getrealestatefunding.com. Got excited. I signed up, and the man called me back the next day, and he said that since I'd recently gone credit card shopping, because, you know, I wanted to try to find some credit cards to start this business with. I'm brand new for everybody else.
Right.
He said that I need to reapply in early April, and if I can pay down my credit cards to about 45%, I've got a really good chance of getting about $75,000 on upwards to $100,000 line of credit through these guys, which, by the way, are out of Utah.
Sweet.
So thank you for that, and I'll keep you posted on how that's
going.
You're
very welcome, man. You're very welcome. That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, we have helped a lot of people get some pretty good sizable lines of credit, and we also have a lot of people that are same thing as what you just said, where, you know, you might need to pay down a little bit on something because they want to make sure you keep your debt ratio in line and that sort of thing. So yeah, but it's a really good system. It really is. And those guys are good to work with. So I'm glad you reached out to them and they called you. That was good. Thanks for that feedback.
Thank you, Larry.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question or a comment or anything you want to share?
Hey, Larry, Casey in Chicago.
What's up?
How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Hey, I have a scenario for you.
All right.
How would you handle if you had a rental property and a tenant built a wall in the house that wasn't authorized?
I guess it depends on do I like the wall or not.
You do not like the wall.
You do not like the wall.
You
what
do
kind
not
of
like
wall,
the wall
is it? What's that about?
Well, it was a wall that essentially, when you walk in the house, if you're looking from the kitchen area, you would go down some steps into the family room.
Uh-huh.
Just to the right of that is a look over, because the family room goes down, so it looks over it. So they've put
almost
a wall.
Almost like a balcony?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. And they put a wall up blocking that, as well as then closed up the stairs going down and essentially made it a master suite.
Okay.
For like a bedroom down
and
there.
You didn't know about this?
Not at all.
How
yeah.
did you find out?
Their refrigerator went out, so we had to take them a new refrigerator.
Okay. And what did they say when you asked them about it?
Not a whole lot, you know. It was kind of one of those, you know, we got to show you something. We think you're going to like it, that sort of thing. But, it wasn't, say anything, you know. Don't want to necessarily make enemies, you know, with your tenant, that sort of thing.
You didn't want to rock the boat until you figured out what to do.
That's right.
Okay. So do they have a lease right now with you?
They do.
And what does the lease say about that?
Any alterations need to be approved by us.
Okay.
The city also says it needs a building permit.
Okay. All right. When you say the city said that, is the city aware of this wall?
I don't believe so, but I don't know for sure. I didn't go to the city. I was just trying to look up on their website. But
uh-huh.
Their website doesn't have anything that you can pull up. You know, you probably have to go there, I assume. It's a smaller town.
Right. So they put up the framing, the 2x4 studs, the top plate and bottom plate and all that, and then they sheetrocked it. And did they do any wiring that, like, was necessary?
You know, that I'm not sure of.
Okay. Because usually when you have walls, interior walls, there has to be a certain number of outlets.
Right, usually something like, what, every 6 feet?
Every 6 feet. So, well, it has to be so... Because typically any lamp or anything is going to have a 6-foot cord,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be able to plug in from sitting anywhere in the room,
gotcha.
You know, on the wall. So there's your out right there. That's my first thought. Is mm-hmm. I would go back and say, you know, I know you showed me this wall and I'm really excited for you and it looks fine. I don't have a problem with it, but here's the problem. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Did you get a permit? You know, apparently you didn't because they have to notify the owner to issue a permit. And
right.
I didn't get any kind of notification. Second thing is, you know, did you do it to code? If you didn't do it to code, now what's going to come back? What's going to happen is they're going to come back and make you tear down the wall. So we need to do one of two things. Either you need to take it down or you need to get it inspected, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And have it done correct, but you don't really want the wall at all, correct?
No, that's right. It really takes away from the house. It's
yeah.
already got not including that. It's a 5-bedroom house.
It's a what?
It's a 5-bedroom house without that.
Okay, so it's a pretty nice house anyway.
It is.
Okay. So, yeah, I would just tell them, look, you know, unfortunately, you know, you're going to have to take this wall down because you didn't get a building permit, and, you know, and it doesn't meet code, and they're going to fine me. So I'm going to give you 30 days to take the wall down. If you don't take the wall down, then I'm going to have to cancel your lease. You don't leave me with any choice, because if the wall stays up, I'm the one that's going to get fined. I'm the one that's going to have to come in and make sure it's torn down.
Okay.
That's what I would do. I would try to put it off on them. Say, look, you know, you're getting me in some big trouble here. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and give you 30 days, take the wall down, and put it back exactly like it was. Everything cleaned up, looking good. No, you know, holes in the carpet, no holes in the ceiling. You know, if you had to do something to the ceiling, you're going to have to fix that back. You know, whatever it is you had to do whenever you put the wall up, it's going to have to be back just like original.
Okay.
Because it's my butt that's on the line, not yours. You're the tenant. I'm the one who owns the house.
Great.
Do they know you own the house by yourself?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. I was just going to say, you can always also put it off on a partner, you know.
Right.
And if it was up to me, we'd just wait and see what happens. But, you know, my partner said, you know, man, we got to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
No problem at all. Good luck with it. Let me know how it goes.
Will do.
Awesome. Anybody else have a question?
Hi, Mary. This is Dorothy from St. Louis, Missouri.
What's happening, Dorothy?
Hey, nothing much. I did have a quick question for you. I have a buyer that's interested in a seller finance property that I just got under contract today. He's a tattoo artist, so he's self-employed, but he has $6,000 down. How do you feel about self-employed individuals, since it's really kind of hard to verify their income?
Well,
and he's saying that he can pay up to $1,500 a month.
It is difficult to verify their income, but if you send that deal over to Texas Pride, they are used to working with a lot of people, like in the construction business, and get paid with cash and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I would send it over to Texas Pride Lending and tell them I sent you. I'm not making anything off of it. They don't pay me any kind of commission or referral fee. But
okay.
Just send it over to them. And, you know, there's Sarah that's over there, and Cindy, I believe, or Cynthia, something like that. Grant runs the place. So send it over there, and they'll take a look at it, and chances are they'll be able to help you out.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. There's a lot of things they can do to verify income. For example, you know, if he's self-employed, he's probably not going to have a W-2. He's probably not going to have a weekly paycheck, but they can go in and, like, have him give them maybe 3 months or 6 months worth of bank statements to show how much money is being deposited into his account every month. Those are some of the things that they can do to verify that he has the ability to pay for Dodd-Frank.
Okay, gotcha.
Awesome.
And one other question that I had as well, too, when it comes to doing your seller financing and being able to have the note buyer at the closing with you, and like you said, maybe you split the down payment with them 50-50 or so, whatever you need to negotiate to get them to come to closing so it can be a true no money down deal.
Uh-huh.
How often does that really, does that happen a lot? Is that, you know, often, or is that just like you just got to really have a note buyer in your pocket to be able to do something like that?
Well, you can do that. It's called table funding, and lenders do it all the time.
Okay.
Lenders do it all the time. And so hold on one second. You can do that, and it is very, very possible. You just have to have that kind of relationship with your note buyer and have them lined up so you can say, hey, I'm getting ready to close on this deal. Here's all the information. They're buying it for X. They're putting down X. You know, I'll have you the paperwork at the closing. but I need you to table fund this deal because I don't have the money to buy the property. And the other thing is, I'm not sure where you got about splitting your down payment with your note buyer, but I've never had to do that, and I know I've never taught that. So,
But
if that's
okay.
something you feel like you need to do with your note buyer, you know, that's between you and them. But I've never done it, never offered it, and can't see a reason that I would need to split the down payment with my note buyer.
Okay. And so, like, if they were, if it was, you know, it's just, of course, it's newly originated. I was just looking online at the note buyers, the companies that buy them and all that stuff, and they were saying basically they want them to be seasoned, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, something like that. That's why, you know, that's why I was like, okay, would that just be an incentive, you know, do you have to have some type of incentive to get them to table fund the deal for you?
Well, your incentive is selling it to them at a deeper discount so the yield is higher. But you don't have to give them part of the down payment. That is actually your compensation to make up for having to take a discount.
Okay, good. I'm glad I said that then because I'm sure we're going to follow it. Okay, good.
Good, good. Good luck with that.
Thank you, and I'll keep you posted.
That sounds good. Thank you very much. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight. These have been some complicated questions. Well, not for me, but they've been some complicated questions.
Hey, Larry, it's Alan from New York again.
What's up?
So I have a friend of mine who bought a property in Philly. They promised him that it's like $30,000 to buy and $40,000 to renovate. And then if they don't renovate in time, they will give him, you know, monthly, like, money, rental income about, like, $1,000, let's say. So
they don't renovate it in time.
Right, they don't renovate in time. They promised to give him, like, a certain amount of rental income. I think it was, like, $1,000. But he had to send him the entire amount. So he sent him $70,000.
Okay,
and then,
tell me, now who's buying it and where's the 70 coming from?
Okay, so the after repair value and what they're selling it for is 70, but what they break it down is 30,000 is actually for them to buy the property and 40,000 is what they're charging him for renovation. But here's where it gets really tricky. So they're supposed to finish everything in September, meaning the renovation, but they never even started the renovation and it's February. He still gets paid $1,000, starting in September. He still gets paid, but then found out they put it.
Has he already bought the property and owns it?
Now he owns the property. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He owns the property, and you're talking about he's paying a contractor to do this. Is that what you're saying?
No. This is like it's almost like a turnkey property, but they do it in two steps. The first step is they acquire the property for the person, and then they renovate it. And then their goal is to get it renovated a certain amount of time.
Oh,
and if they don't meet that deadline.
So the turnkey provider sold him a property for $70,000.
Right.
40 was for the house, 30 was for the rehab, but they've never rehabbed the house, and now they're paying him $1,000 a month.
They're paying him $1,000 a month, and they just said they got caught up, but they ended up renting the place for someone for $800. They still pay him $1,000. And now he's nervous. He's like, wait a second. You know, they have, you know, $30,000 of my money for the rehab, which they haven't done. They promised they'll get started soon. Should he, you know, and now he has a tenant that's paying $800. They're paying him $1,000, but he has a tenant. So part of him is like, wait, if I have a deal that costs me $40,000 and I have someone paying $800, should I just not renovate the place and just be happy with getting $800 and say, give me my money back? Or
they're not going to give him his $30,000 back.
Okay. Okay.
They're not going to do that. That money's gone. Okay.
But they'll renovate the place, right?
Well, hopefully, if they hadn't renovated it so far, I don't know. That's another reason I don't like turnkey providers. I try to tell people, you got to remember, guys. Look at it this way: I buy houses. I don't get sold houses. That's a situation of where he got sold a house. He wasn't buying a house. In other words, he wasn't going out there and looking for it and finding it and negotiating the terms and getting a deep discount and figured his own rehab, he got sold a house. And I don't mean, oh, he got sold. I don't mean like that, but I'm just saying he got sold a house. He didn't go out
right.
and find it on his own. That's what I'm trying to teach all you guys how to do, is to go
right.
out and do deals on your own so you don't have to worry about getting sold a house. You can find your
right.
own deals. And that's another reason
exactly.
I don't like all the turnkey providers.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Good luck with that.
On the when you
I mean, I know it's not your deal, but, you know.
No, he was just asking me. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, part of me makes me a little bit suspicious. I just had a – but we'll see what happens. With the turn when you close on a seller financing, is there people that you can recommend that will buy the note that same day, or is that someone – is that people that you have a relationship that the –
Well, you typically need to create your own relationships with your own people that you can sell them to.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
That's a sweet thing to have, you know?
It really is. It's good to have note buyers that are lined up and ready to buy.
Right. That's a sweet thing.
Absolutely. Sure is. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
I have another question, Larry. Going
all right,
contractors
sure.
versus subcontractors. Lately, I'm getting. I feel like these contractors that I have that service some of my calls, they just hire subcontractors. And I'm like, I feel like the amount they're charging is so much more than I like. And have you ran into that? Where you know, like, how do you like screen some of these contractors to just work with the to just get subcontractors?
You
want to
work with the guy doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's an HVAC is broken, see, the hard part is when I have 10 properties, I need someone to be there to service the calls. But I like to just have the subcontractor go there and take care of it as opposed to my contractor.
Yeah, just run you some ads on Craigslist.
Okay.
I would just run some ads on Craigslist.
And just get a list of subcontractors?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, you could say, I've got some properties in this area. I'm looking for a guy who actually does the work, not a general contractor. I'm looking for a subcontractor that can do this, 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 and this. You know, if you're reliable, honest, ethical, and dependable, you know, give me a call, and we'll see if we can work together.
Right.
But be sure and put in your ad that you're looking for the guy that's actually going to do the work.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. That's good.
And when you buy insurance, do you do actual or replacement costs? For your property?
Well, we just tell them what the value is, and we do it on builder's risk. So with builder's risk, you put down what the value is.
You do builder's risk. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess for properties that I'm renting out, I didn't know that there's a builder's risk option. So they always ask me.
Well,
no,
if it's not on rental property, it's not builder's
yeah.
risk. You know, it's going to be a landlord policy. That's why I like.
Yeah,
that's why I like owner financing. You know, I don't have to deal with the. I don't have to deal with the landlord insurance or any of that because my buyer is paying for the insurance. But
right.
I use Affinity. Insurance.
That's what I use. Oh, they're good.
Yeah, they are good.
Use them too.
That's who I use.
Yeah. No, I use it because of you, man. Thank you for referring me.
Sure.
I never know how to answer the actual versus replacement, you know? I mean, I know the difference in their calculations, but
uh-huh.
I never know if I'm choosing. I know that the replacement is much more expensive, but then at the same time, God forbid something happens to the property, you get much more money back to them.
Yeah.
Than that. But I don't know. I think these properties are so cheap that to repair them, to rebuild it, they'll just cash you out and give you money, you know, except for the deductible. So I just
yeah.
do the actual.
And you can ask for replacement cost when you're,
yeah.
you know, when you're getting insurance. You can ask for that.
Mm-hmm. What is your motto for raising rent for your tenants? Do you do
for raising
$10?
Rent?
How do you, like,
man, I'm not really good at that. You're supposed to, you know, you should raise it every time your lease expires, but I'm not really good at that.
I'm not good at that either.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going through my office right now. I've got some tenants that have been with me since 2011, and I haven't raised the rent yet.
I'm just happy that they're paying.
I hear you. That's funny.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. I just keep asking. I have a property that they want to put a dog in there, but they say the dog is out. It will be outside.
They
want to
put a dog in there?
No, they have a dog. So usually we take a deposit for a dog, but they said that they're going to keep the dog outside. How do you prove that?
Yeah, well.
Do you still take a deposit?
Well, you put in your lease that you could go by every 30 days to inspect.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, you just have that in your lease.
Gotcha. And going back to the self-finance, if let's just say Joe wants to buy your property, and he's like, listen, I really want to go in there and do some due diligence and check out how the HVAC is working and this working, but you have all the utilities down, do you let them do that? Do you trust them to open up all the utilities without an agent?
Open up the utilities?
No, I'm sorry. Let's just say you have a property right now that you're selling for seller financing, and the water is not on, it's been winterized, and you want to, and they want to check to see that the plumbing is working okay, and you give them the lockbox. Are you willing to let them, you know, call the water company?
I do, but I make sure that they know they're responsible in the event of if anything freezes or busts or anything happens, they are responsible.
Okay, and what do you do? That's when you get the earnest money from them.
Right.
Okay. You tell them that, and okay. So then, what? Have you ever had a situation that something happened, and you put a lien against them? Like they'll just run away from the deal?
Yeah, no, I haven't yet. We've been fortunate. Most people don't really want to do that, but occasionally you run into one that does.
I gotcha.
We have one right now where a person is, they got the water, and but they, I told them they could only turn the water on if they turned the heat on as well.
Right, because you don't want the pipes to freeze?
That's exactly right. And we're closing on it in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, I got you.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So do you collect first earnest money from them and then at the closing the rest of it? So if it's a $5,000...
You're talking about the down payment for a seller finance deal?
Yeah.
I usually get like $1,000 up front, and then once they're approved through the RMLO, I collect the balance. Mm-hmm.
You collect the balance and then
up front.
Wow.
I mean, you know, before they close.
Mhm. Gotcha. Very nice, man.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll be closing one from you soon, man.
Awesome. Yeah, man. I'm excited about that. That's good.
It's good
you're finally using your $1,000 deposit you've had with us for about 3 years.
Dude, I was waiting.
No, well, it's not like you hadn't bought some other stuff from us, but I know you've had on deposit for a while.
I was waiting. I waited for the moment.
Know.
Now we're ready to go. I appreciate your patience, you know?
Yeah, no problem. No problem. That's good. Well, does anybody have any questions, anything that you need any help with?
Hi, there is Rodney in Virginia.
Hey.
I have a couple questions for you. I heard the term seller financing and owner financing. Are those two different terms for the same thing, or are they different?
It's exactly the same thing.
Okay, so same principle works
same
with both
thing.
Of them.
Owner financing, seller financing, owner will carry, you know, terms. Land contract. Contract for deed, all that stuff is seller financing.
So they're exactly the same?
Exactly.
Okay. Recently I heard about this TRID, T-R-I-D, and it affects doing assumptions or assignments. It took effect in October 2015. How does that work, and how does that work for real estate investors?
Well,
or how does it affect real estate investors?
Yeah. Well, TRID became effective. I can't remember when it was. It was sometime last year that TRID mm-hmm. became effective, and it's.
What does that stand for again? The letter TRID. What is that?
It stands for Truth in Lending Act, RESPA, Integrated Disclosures.
Okay.
Yeah, TILA, RESPA, Integrated Disclosures.
Okay.
And that's what it stands for. And it's basically updated disclosures where your borrowers have more time to review their loan docs before they sign them. They have to have 7 days. They have to get the docs 7 days prior to closing and be able to look at them for 7 days before they sign them. And if anything changes, if they go back and say, oh, what about this FedEx fee that you said I was supposed to pay? It's not on here. If you go back and put a FedEx fee on there, you got to send it to them again, and they have 4 more days to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just a pain in the butt. I even have to do it on my seller finance deals.
Do you try to avoid assignments, or are they still okay?
It has nothing to do with assignments.
It has everything
to do with originating new loans.
Oh, okay. And the borrowers, who are the borrowers? I mean, the people that are borrowing to buy your property, mean?
Yeah. All it has to do with is if you're owner financing a property, that's all. And if you're owner financing it to somebody that's going to live in it, that's all it has to do with. Nothing else.
Okay. Yeah, one more question for you. For those who are just starting out, just they want to make cash on their deals instead of passive income, with all the things out there, you know, there's owner or seller financing, there's HUD homes, there's and the other things. What's the best way to start out when you want to start out just having cash deals and, you know, just to make some, you know, more or less quick cash, so to speak?
Okay. I think probably the best thing to do, there's a couple of things. You can wholesale. It's quick. It's harder to get wholesale deals right now, quite frankly, because you got to buy them at deeper discounts to wholesale them. But wholesaling is a great way to go, and you don't have to sit on them very long. You can buy them and sell them the same day. I also mm-hmm. like seller financing, even though you're seller financing the deal. I like it because you can sell the note right away and get your cash back, and you actually typically make more than you would if you're owner financing, than if you're wholesaling the property.
Okay. As far as using Filthy Riches or the Ultimate Buying Machine, which is better for people starting out at this time point in time?
Well, the Ultimate Buying Machine is wholesaling.
Okay.
And the Filthy Riches is owner financing, if that
helps. Okay. Okay, I see. Mm-hmm.
Good. Did that help?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Excellent. You're very welcome. My pleasure. Let me know.
How's it going with the HUD homes, getting HUD homes to, you know, is that getting more difficult or?
Well, no, it's not getting more difficult. In fact, I've got 23 deals on the board right now, 14 of them are HUD.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're still doing a lot of HUD. In fact, we have a new HUD event that's coming up in March, nothing but HUD. And
Is that different from the one you had, was it 6 months or a year ago?
It was a year ago, and it's just an updated one. We only do one of them a year.
Mm-hmm.
We only do one a year.
I already have the HUD the DVDs from the HUD you did. I mean, the HUD homes you did about a year ago. Is it?
Yeah.
How would I get the update, or do I need the update?
Well, there is no update on that. It's just we do an event once a year. We just do one of those events once a year, just so we can provide the updated information to people.
Plus, there's no updated information. I mean, what I have is already has. It doesn't need to be updated. What I have now.
Well, no. All I'm saying is there are a few changes here and there that HUD makes. That's the reason
mm-hmm.
we do one event per year, so we can provide
mm-hmm.
with updated information. You know, at each event, and we'll probably record the event. So if you want to get the recordings of this one, you could do that as well.
Since I already have the one, would it cost us the same amount to get the updated one?
Yeah,
or is
there
it's just
because it's only like $497.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay, thanks.
Sure, you're welcome. Anybody else have a question?
One last question for you, Larry. It's Alan from New York. If I'm setting up an LLC with I have a partner that wants to join me for some of these deals, and let's just say we do everything split 50-50. In the future, if I did a buy and hold strategy and I needed to refinance, do they check both of the partners' financing at the time?
Well, if you're doing single family houses, chances are you're going to have to qualify personally anyway. Even if the property's in an LLC, whoever's getting the loan, is going to have to qualify for the loan personally.
But if it's a partnership with two people, don't both of them have to apply?
Probably
for
so. They're going to want to see who owns the partnership.
When you have a partnership, you're going to want to own it.
When you have an LLC, they're going to want to see who owns the LLC is what I meant.
Got you. And that person has to be, okay.
Yeah.
I got you. So you could structure it that way. Oh.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, cool. Did that help?
No, excellent.
Good. Anybody else have a question or anybody have a question about anything? You guys have had some good questions tonight. We've been on here quite a while.
How do you incentivize your tenants to change the HVAC filter so it doesn't become a problem?
I'm sorry, how do you what?
The HVAC, man. I mean, I'm so tired of HVACs. I wish I could just put AC units out. I feel like every
Are you talking
months,
about
changing
they're getting stolen?
No, that I put a cage around them. I learned that lesson. But the HVAC, sometimes the filters, like, they don't change them, and that's the reason why I think it's a problem. So I can have my contractors go. I'm trying to think of a system where the tenants will do it, maybe incentivize them to change it every 3 months.
Yeah, you might have to incentivize them or send somebody by there with some filters to put in.
Yeah, that's what I need to do.
Just send somebody by there. You might be able to find, if you have a few properties in one area, you might be able to find a guy an HVAC that'll go by there with the filters and replace them every 90 days.
Yeah, I'm going to try to figure out a system, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you don't like tenants and toilets. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't like that at all. Not at all. Cool. Anybody have a question?
You want a question for Rodney? When's your next 3-day event here on the East Coast?
I just had a 3-day event 3 weeks ago in Charlotte, just our regular 3-day, kind of an overview of all the different kinds of real estate. My next event coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is on the East Coast as well, is my Nothing But HUD event. And it's going to be, I think, March, like,
mm-hmm.
17, 18, and 19, something like that. That whatever that weekend is.
Oh, okay. I was sick. I didn't hear about that one you had just a while ago. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't hear about it?
No, I was sick. So I didn't, and I mentioned my wife changed our internet service provider, so I didn't.
You didn't get your emails. Okay.
Didn't get the emails. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, we tried. We sent out some direct mail too. We sent out some postcards, but I don't know. Where do you live?
Hmm.
Well, what state do you live in?
Oh, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have got them, I think.
I don't remember getting them.
Anyway, we've got a nothing but HUD event coming up soon.
Okay, that's in Charlotte too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go to nothingbuthud.com and you'll see all about it.
Have the changes, just to come back up on a little bit, have the changes that they made in HUD since the last time you talked about it, has that changed a lot?
There have been some changes. Not a whole lot of changes, but there's been some changes.
Okay. Is there a way to find out what the changes are instead of coming to the event?
You might be able to just Google it and find out what the updates are. I don't know that there's any one specific location. We just teach based on our own experience and what we have learned, whether it be through the grapevine or whether it be through, you know, different sources, industry insiders. We just kind of share what we've picked up on and what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. So it's some pretty important changes you need to know about.
Well, there's been some, you know, like for example, there in some markets, they're testing eliminating the owner-occupied only, like 10 or 15 or 30 days, and they're going straight to where investors can bid on them day one. But that's only in properties that need a lot of work. It's not in good-looking houses.
Do the real estate agents that are up on HUD homes, are they familiar with these changes? Or?
No, most of them don't.
No?
Most of them don't.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I've told several people some of the stuff that they don't have a clue.
Oh, okay. All righty. Thank you.
Cool. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question? All right, going once. Going twice.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you guys very much. I really appreciate all you guys being on here. Had some great questions tonight.
Much,
really good stuff. And if you need anything answered between now and the next time, just shoot me an email. My email is simple, larry@larrygoins.com. I personally answer it. So I'll be glad to help you any way that I can. So thanks a lot, everybody. I really appreciate your business. And
thank you,
sure, let me know if you need any help with anything before the next call. And with that, I hope everybody has a great night. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Larry.